commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authorities in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Thanks, Margaret. Thanks, Kim. And we're in our series Multiply this morning once again. And we're looking at the topic, the command to make disciples. And it's a fitting topic to have a missionary update, as we have missionaries that are out there actively making disciples. And it's really encouraging to hear some of the stories that Andrew and Julie in Indonesia are experiencing of making disciples, Richard and Kirsten. Richard will be heading off to Sri Lanka to do just that once again. And also Natalie and James Nelson, who support or work with Wycliffe Translators, used to be Papua New Guinea, now still working for Wycliffe. But some great news. Please continue to pray for our missionaries. They need your prayers. And we all need one another's prayers, as we're going to hear today. But please pray and continue to pray for our missionaries, including the Kadjas as well, which is one of our local missionaries. So before I begin, one more book available in the series Multiply. If you want to grab that, $10, just pop it in the offering box. You can get it from Kurong. Strongly encourage you to read this book as we work through this series. But with that in mind, let me pray as we come to this topic now, the command to make disciples. Well, Father God, we again just acknowledge your presence with us now. And we thank you, Lord God, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the blessing it is to know you and to be known by you, Lord. And nothing really else should matter. That in itself is just incredible to get our heads around. The creator of this cosmos, the creator of this world, knows us intimately, loves us intimately, would desire a relationship with us. We know that you desire a relationship with us because you came to this earth and you died the death that we deserve. And so today is about reminding ourselves of that reality and how we can live in light of that reality. So bless my words, Lord, as I speak. Bless each and every one of us as we continue to dive deep into the depths of your word, to understand and discover the way of life that you continue to call us to. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now, and may your blessing be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to start with a question, a very simple question, and the question is this: do you love Jesus? Do you genuinely love Jesus with all your heart? That's the key question I want to ask this morning. Is he your number one priority? Because you know, when you love something or someone deeply, you will do anything for them, won't you? Some of us love our families, and rightfully so, and you would go the extra mile, the extra yard for your children or your parents or your family members. Some of us do that because, again, you love them. But I sometimes wonder, do we love other things more than our relationship with Jesus? Do we love our jobs? Do we love our careers? Our houses? Sport? Aussies love their sport, don't they? But do we love these things more than we love Jesus? Do we prioritize them more than our relationship with God? Last week we spoke about what a true disciple of Jesus looks like by answering the question, what is a disciple? We spoke about how disciples are ultimately people who follow Jesus. They are followers. A lot of us follow someone or something, and it's hard to be not become like the people that we follow. And so we spoke about the reality that we need to become more like Jesus, hence our vision statement as a church. But people who follow Jesus, and the word disciple in the New Testament translated means student. It means apprentice. It means learner. It It's not just someone who hears the word of God or listens to the word of God. They actually are doers as well. They get their hands dirty in ministry and mission. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. The Apostle Paul actually put it this way: follow me as I follow the example of Christ. What he's saying is that as I follow Jesus and as you start to see my life reflecting him, model those behaviors. Emulate those behaviors in your life. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What we also spoke about last week towards the end of our time together is that there's also a cost to following Jesus, isn't there? There's a real cost involved. Following Jesus is costly because he paid the ultimate price for us. Amen? And the passage we read out was from Luke 14, 26 to 27, which is on the screen for us now. Now, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me, again, that word follow, cannot be my disciple. We spoke about following, all about meaning making Jesus your Lord, which means master. Is Jesus your Lord and your master? But here, Jesus is talking to a bunch of potential disciples, and he's saying to them, if you want to follow me, you need to count the cost. It will cost you something. But as many of us know here in this room here today, it is worth it. Amen? The cost is 110% worth it. And let's not beat around the bush here once again. This is a confronting passage, even though we touched on it last week. But Jesus is not saying that you need to despise your family members in that sense of hating them. He's not saying despise them. He's saying again, however far you are willing to go for your family members, your mother, your father, your children, you need to be prepared to go the extra mile, the extra yard for me even more. Amen. That's what he's saying. When push comes to shove, I should be your number one priority if, again, you truly love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Yes, love your family members. Be there for them. But again, when push comes to shove, make me your number one. And so again, if we truly love him, if we love Jesus, then if we adore him, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands, doesn't he? If you love me, you will obey my commands. And one of the key commands that we're looking at here today is the command to make disciples. Again, it's a passage that's familiar with each and every one of us, as Kim read out to us. Matthew 28, we are called and commanded to make disciples of all nations. Amen. And I'm guessing here today that someone, or every single one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, if you pull your hand up and say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, he's my master, then someone has led you to Christ, amen? Someone has played a pivotal role, a crucial role in discipling you, in coming alongside you. And I want you to bring that person to mind here today, because we're going to celebrate those people, because we are the fruit or the product or the labor of their efforts, amen? So, does anyone want to share with us that person? You don't have to say their whole name, maybe just their first name. Share a bit about them and why you see them in such a light. Anyone want to share briefly with us as we celebrate those people here today? The people that discipled us, who brought us to Jesus. Raphael, do you want to take that round for us? Put your hand up high, as we encourage one another with those people and celebrate those people here today. Raph, thanks everyone. Really encouraging, isn't it, to hear how others have played their part in the discipleship process. And I'm going to get us out of our comfort zone just a little bit this morning. Nothing major, don't worry. But on the count of three, I just want us to shout out that name or that one name, that one person that has played a part in leading you to Christ or discipling you. Is that okay? So after count of three, make sure you've got that person in your name. Shout it out loud. If you have it, don't feel like you have to, but it's celebrating all those people who've played a part in our lives. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Yeah, I didn't hear any of those, but very good. That was good. So we celebrate them today, amen? Because, again, we're here because of what others have done in our lives. The question is, are we going to pass down that legacy to others? Are we going to be those people in other people's lives? Or more so, are we going to be us, people that others need, in terms of leading people to Christ, if that makes sense? But we've all shared this, I've shared this before, but from my point of view, my story, my parents played the integral part in leading me to Christ, basically. I came up and grew up in a Christian family, as some of you shared, and had the blessing of knowing Jesus from a very young age. But I accepted Jesus into my life when I was 12 years of age at a youth camp, and that was my first ever experience of the Holy Spirit in my life. The Spirit of God moving in my life led me down the front as a 12-year-old in year 7 to accept Jesus for myself into my life. But there was a key person in my life who I've shared of before called Rick Mumford, and again he came and spoke a few weeks back. When I was 15, 16 years of age, I remember just knowing I needed a mentor in my life, someone separate to my parents to guide me, disciple me in life. And I prayed that prayer as a 15-year-old that God would lead someone to me. Now, within 2 weeks, out of the blue, Rick Mumford calls me up and he says, "Dan, God's laid it on my heart to come alongside you, to encourage you if you would like that to happen." Quickest answer to prayer I ever had at that point in my life. I said, "Absolutely. I just prayed this 2 weeks ago and here you are, unprompted, didn't even speak to him about it. The Spirit of God moving as he does." And I've shared a relationship with this man ever since. He's discipled me. He's gotten me through some of the most challenging seasons in my life. But for him, he was just being obedient, amen? He was just being obedient to the call that God placed on his life. I mean, who would want to hang around with a 16-year-old kid who thinks he knows everything? But he was just being obedient to the call of God, who prompted him to come alongside me, to lead me in the direction of Jesus Christ. And that is one of the keys to making disciples that we're going to be pushing into here today. One of the key aspects of this great commission, the great command to make disciples, is the reality that you and I need to be open to the Spirit of God. Amen? Open to the Spirit's prompting. Because the Spirit is a missionary spirit. God is a missionary God, meaning that he is in the business of saving lives. And the beautiful thing about this is that he calls us to partner with him in that process. What a privilege, amen? What a true privilege. And he will call us and prompt us to simply go. So that's the first aspect of all of this. Making disciples is all about going to people, amen? We go. Taking that step of faith. Being obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Taking that bold stand and just going to people to share the good news of Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say in that passage? Go and make disciples. Making disciples is simply about going to people. Which does sound simple, doesn't it? But as we touched on last week, it can be so darn hard sometimes, can't it? There's so many things stopping us, preventing us, getting in our way, obstacles, preventing us from going in the first place, from obeying the Spirit's prompting. Busyness, priorities. Evidently, we have a spiritual enemy who's going to do anything to stop us from simply going and being Christ's hands and feet in this world. But the reality is that Jesus will be with us, amen? He says he'll be with us, but part of going, the reality is it's just being open to the Spirit of God, being in step with the Spirit, in tune with the Spirit. Now, my first experience of being prompted to share the gospel with someone was when I was at university, in my first year of university. And this particular evening, I was studying down at Wollongong University. I studied journalism down there and communication and media studies. My first year down there, in the first few months, I used to get the train down there, and the trains were out for some reason. I think it was the heavy rain that evening, I'm pretty sure. But we had to get a bus back up to the Southern Shire, where I lived at the time, in Menai. And I sat next to this random person. I was hoping to sit next to my mate, and it didn't quite work out, so I sat next to this person. And halfway through the trip, I was on this journey with God and really growing in my faith. I had this prompting to share my faith with Him. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to take that step of obedience, to overcome that first obstacle, to get out of your comfort zone and to talk to someone you don't know. And I had this little bargaining thing with God. I said, okay, God, if He speaks to me first, then I'll share my faith. You know what happened next? Then a few minutes of praying that prayer, this guy just started talking to me. I opened up a conversation. I was like, far out. I've got to do this. And so I started having that conversation with him. And my intention was always to share my faith. But I thought, I'll build the relationship first, and then we'll get there. But then it was too late. We came to the end of the bus stop. We had to get off. And I missed my opportunity to share my faith with him. And you know what? I regretted that moment ever since. And then the very next moment, I felt that prompting, I was going to obey. So I didn't want to have that feeling of regret hanging over my head once again. Fast forward a few years, and I was on this journey again, starting Bible college. I remember going down to Cronulla Beach to pray and spend time with God down there. And this one particular time, I was praying with God and spending time with Him. And there was this teenage boy, probably about 18, 19 years of age, just mucking around playing handball or footy or whatever. Again, the Spirit prompted me to go talk to them. And so I did. I shared my faith. I invited them to church. You know, one of those boys turned up to church not long after. A few weeks later, he turned up, and I didn't know this, but he went to the same school I did. He knew me. One step of obedience is all it took to plant a seed, and God did the rest. Now, I don't know what happened to him, but the reality is he came to church for a little while. But it doesn't matter sometimes if we don't lead them to faith. God may just be leading us, or being allowing us to play our part in the process. Amen. It's a whole passage that Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it. It was God who made it grow. But the Holy Spirit is again key in this process. The question for us here today is, are we open to its prompting, to His prompting? Are we open to the Spirit of God calling us? Are we in step with the Spirit? Again, as Galatians 5 tells us. Again, I've been, as I prepare this sermon, convicted this week because I haven't been. I haven't been open. I haven't been sitting before God asking who He wants me to share faith with. That's something I need to work on in my life. So we need to be ready to go, amen, according to the Spirit's prompting. Yet I feel there is yet another step prior to this that we need to overcome, an obstacle that we need to overcome if we can come to this reality in the first place. And that key obstacle is each and every one of us understanding, those who have accepted Christ into their lives, that this is our responsibility. Amen. This great commission, this call to make disciples, this command isn't just for pastors and leaders. Although it is in the New Testament, the leaders, the elders and pastors are the ones who are making disciples, Jesus' intention was that this was everyone's job. Amen? Amen? So we're not going to be open to the Spirit's prompting and leading if we don't first recognize that Jesus in this passage is talking to you, talking to me. The members of the early church, they took this responsibility very seriously. They realized, as Francis Chan points out in his book, that the church wasn't a corporate organization run by a CEO. Now, they saw the church as a body. A body that functions as it ought to when everyone plays their part. Amen? Where everyone pulls their weight. Where everyone releases and fans into flame the Spirit's gift or giftings that the Spirit has given us. The gifts, the abilities. We've spoken about this before. Ephesians says this, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. If you go next slide there for us, Wally. Ephesians 4, 11, 16. So Christ gave himself apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now sometimes we may feel like, oh, you know, I'm just a thumb, a bit small and insignificant. But life is a lot harder without a thumb, isn't it? You need your thumb or your little toe. It's harder to work. You may see yourself as that, but without you, we can't function as we ought to. If we are not serving, if we're not playing our part, and there is a time of just like discerning that and just being, and that's fine. But at some point, you and I need to discover what God has equipped us with, what he's gifted us with. How can I play my part in the body? How can I minister? How can I be a disciple of Jesus? Francis Chan says this as well. Next slide, thanks. The pastor is not the minister. Let that sink in for a little while. The pastor is not the minister, at least not in the way we typically think of a minister. The pastor is an equipper. That's very much how I see my role. The pastor is an equipper, and every member of the church is a minister. Is that biblical? Is that grounded in biblical reality and truth? It is. Peter, the Apostle Peter, talks about the priesthood of all believers, meaning we all have direct access to Jesus. We don't need to go to a father or a bishop, in which the Catholic Church do, to confess our sin. No, you can have direct access to Jesus anytime. Yes, it's healthy to have that accountability in place, but we can talk to Jesus anywhere, anytime, amen? In our bedrooms. The priesthood of all believers. We are all ministers of God's gospel. And that's the step that you and I need to overcome sometimes, to realize that we are all part of this. Yes, God calls some, like myself, to be key leaders in God's church, but we all have a part to play. And again, we're not going to be open to the Spirit of God if we do not realize that first and foremost. And so the reality is here today. Who is God calling you to? What is the Spirit prompting you to do? What step in your comfort zone is he calling you to? To speak to people in your workplaces, your friendship groups. If it's hard to bring someone to mind, then maybe you just may have to put yourself out there into contexts that have more non-Christians around you. All you can think about is, well, all your friends are Christian. Then maybe it's time to think about, where can I put myself? A social group or somewhere where I can interact with non-believers in order to share my faith with them. To be our hands and feet. Kids Hope could be another program. We go down to the schools. Those who do Kids Hope, we're mingling with the staff. We're talking with the administration staff in the front desk, not only mentoring a student. Have a think about the areas or the spaces in your life that you can go to in order to engage with those who don't know Jesus. And the challenge is, it is a challenge. But again, as Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, I will be with you to the very ends of this age. Amen. He is with us every step of the way. And so when we take that step, what next? We make disciples by going to people. Second of all, we take the step of encouraging them to follow Jesus. We go and then we encourage. We encourage them to follow Jesus. We encourage them to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Master. That is our role. That's our responsibility as disciples who are to make disciples. And when I think back to Rick and the way he used to disciple me, he encouraged me. He was spurring me on. He wanted the best for me. He was such an encourager. Again, it was follow me as I follow Christ. What about the person who discipled you that you spoke about earlier, that you shouted out earlier? I'm sure that they encouraged you, amen. They spurred you on. We need to encourage people. You know, when I eventually came to a place where I was comfortable enough with Rick to be able to open up, I did, and I shared my sin, I shared my shame, my mistakes. And you think there was condemnation and judgment? No, there was love, encouragement. Continue in this direction, dear, and that's what Jesus has in store for you. We need people like that in our lives, amen? But we also need to be that in other people's lives as well. Other people need us to encourage them to follow Jesus, yes? Encourage people not just to hear the words of Jesus, but to put them into action. Create habits, new lifestyles, ones that ultimately give glory to God. The other side of this is that we need to encourage one another. That's the purpose of the community. Are we created to make disciples on our own? No. In the context of community, we spur one another on, we encourage one another, we pray for those in our lives that don't know Jesus. We need to champion one another. Again, pray for one another, as we spoke about earlier. Celebrate together if someone comes to know Jesus, knowing that each and every one of us have played our part in the process. Hence, again, the importance of life groups, small groups. I can't harp on about this enough. If we want to live this out, then this is the place where we have accountability, amen? This is the place where we pray for one another, where we share those in our lives that we're trying to minister to. We pray for them collectively. We can't have that sort of community here on Sundays. That sort of community is reserved for a small group where people can come together, mutually encourage one another, support one another. This is where it's at, guys. If we are to see this place grow, if we want to see lives transformed, then we need to start being together, small groups where we can continue to talk about these things, pray for one another. And again, there's a sheet at the back if you want to put your name down. Again, take that step out of your comfort zone. We have two already running. If those don't work for you, feel free to run one. I'll ask to have one run during the week. Just put your name down. See what the Spirit does. Do we agree? We need to be meeting together outside of Sundays if we're going to see lives transformed. I'm saying it right now. I can't say it enough. If we want to see the Spirit of God moving, then we need to be going in deeper in God's Word together and then reaching out together in ministry and mission. Go, encourage, and finally teach. Teach them to obey Christ's commands. And sometimes we jump to this step straight away, don't we, when we meet somebody? Well, you're not doing the right thing. You're not doing what Jesus said. Don't do that. Probably not helpful. I made a mistake of doing it in the past. I ruined that relationship straight away. If you're meeting someone for the first time, you don't agree with their lifestyle, just love them. Build rapport with them. Come to a place when you have that relationship place and you say, hang on, I just don't agree with this way of life. Jesus has something so much better for you. We make disciples by going to people. We make disciples by encouraging people and teaching them to obey the ways of Christ. Our God is a missional God, amen? His desire is that people's lives would be saved. Again, this is our command, our mandate, our calling. But again, it comes back to the reality and the question of, do you love Jesus? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter after he denied him three times, to restore that relationship when he rose again. He's having breakfast with his disciples and Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, of course I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then go and feed my sheep. loving Jesus ought to mobilize us into mission, into ministry. It ought to make us want to make disciples. Amen. To impact others with the love that we have experienced, with the love of Jesus Christ. And as we wrap up, I want to encourage you to research other resources out there, particularly those we've looked at in the past, because we've spoken about this a ton of times, haven't we? Some of you may not have been here at that time. He was here for when we did the Plan A series in 2021. Quite a few of us. Linda Lakeland from the Baptist Association put this series together, came and spoke to us. It was during lockdown, which makes it hard. But go back to the sermon podcast and check out. If you want to go to the next slide there, thanks for it. Keep going. Next one. Plan A, the Great Commission for every Christian. They're on our sermon podcast if you want to rehash that or go search the resources for yourself. Great resource. The other one I want to plug finally as we wrap up is Surprise the World. It was here when we did that in 2018. Okay, Mike Frost wrote this book. Next slide. Thanks, Wally. Surprise the World. 5 habits for highly missional people. If you go to the next slide there, thanks. It uses the Bell's model. Bless, eat, listen, learn, sense. Acronym for Bell. What happens when you shake bells? They're pretty loud, aren't they? Can't ignore them. That's who we need to be in people's lives. And we do that by living faithful but questionable lives. That people look at our life and say, hang on a second. There's something different about this person. Something I want. Can you tell me more about your way of life? And he says, bless 3 people a week. One of which is the non-Christian. Just do whatever you can to bless them. Buy them a bunch of flowers. Ask them if you can help them with their workload at work. Whatever the case may be, bless 3 people, one of which is a non-Christian. Eat with 3 people. Be hospitable. It may just be over lunch and in your lunch break. But eat with 1 non-Christian per week. These are habits that we harvest. Listen. We've spoken about this. The importance of listening to the Holy Spirit in this process. Learn in discipleship with others, not just on Sundays, but in a life group. Be equipped with the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be able to share it. If we don't know who Jesus is and what he's all about, how are we going to lead people to Christ if we don't know who he is, what he's all about? And finally, understand yourself as a sent one. Amen. Missional. Missionary is the term for those overseas. We are all missionaries here today. Some of us called to our local community. Some of us called to your workplace where you work. We need to understand ourselves as sent ones. Go and make disciples of all nations. We need to take this call seriously, amen. Understanding ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, whom God has called to go and make disciples as well. And we do that once again, by going, we go, we encourage, we teach. And then when they come to faith, praise God, as we saw a few months ago, people are baptized. We're then called to baptize people in Jesus' name, a public declaration of their faith from death to life. Do you want to see lives transformed this year, San Susie Baptist Church? Do we want to see lives transformed? If we love Jesus, this is our responsibility. My prayer is that it would mobilize us to be his hands and feet, not just in this local community, but around the world. Amen. Go, encourage, teach, baptize, and may we see lives transformed. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we can look at these words in your that came out of your very mouth and think how hard it can be, how difficult it is, Lord. But again, we must realize that you are with us. You have a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. And part of that plan and purpose is to make disciples. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, may we take those first steps here this morning if we are struggling to realize that that's our calling as well. Help us just to sit at your feet, to hear your sweet sound of your voice calling us, mobilizing us. May we just sit in the presence, in your presence now, and I pray that you'll just whisper that name into each and every one of our hearts and minds here today. Lord, I know that our heart here is to see lives transformed. I know that our heart is to see this place grow. But my heart is not to see this place grow on the back of transfer growth in itself. My heart and my prayer is that we will see this place grow when lives being transformed. And as we look to what's happening overseas in the US, in the Asbury University, where revival is taking place, where young people are just committed to you, Lord God, and you are moving in our space. Lord, may that be our experience here. That we may see the urgency, that we may see the need to go, to encourage, to teach, and then the privilege of baptizing into your name. Lord, give us, remind us, but give us that encouragement, the heart, the desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand up. Yes.